Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
I've enjoyed having an impact on younger people. I've actually enjoyed the recruiting process because in my mind, recruiting is just a form of competition and you're trying to, you know, beat somebody for a top level talent and then you get the opportunity to develop the player. So for me, I'm really happy.
And I got to get back on the wagon today. I wore tennis shoes. I got workout clothes in the car. But of course, you bring in donuts this morning.
I told you not to eat them. They're not healthy. They're for me and SmackDown. Did you eat? I didn't invite you to eat a donut.
I ate
they
one
weren't
already.
For you.
You bring in food, it's going to get eaten.
$2 for you.
That was the very first work that came out of your mouth this morning.
I don't know why you're making excuses about working out. You could have come to the house with me and shoveled snow out of the driveway yesterday. That was my workout yesterday.
What do you also say during the show that like his lunch is chicken or his dinner is like chicken, spinach?
He's full of lies.
Did he tell you what he had for lunch yesterday?
Full of lies.
This like 15-pound burrito thing.
The one for lunch had a smoothie for lunch, big guy.
That's fine.
Get your facts right.
I did bring donuts. I've been telling you all
Thank
week.
You, Tommy.
I was going to bring donuts in because I appreciate you guys, braving the conditions to come in here and make this happen each morning. So I figured donuts was the least I could do. Well, then of course the donut place has been closed all week long, and today the light was open, so I wheeled it in the parking lot. Nearly roads were, I hate to say fine, but they were cleared enough that this was the least treacherous drive into work today. Then I get in their parking lot and I wasn't sure I was going to get out. So it was so snow packed in the Shipley Donut parking lot that the little strip you run over to let them know you're in the drive-thru didn't work.
Didn't work.
It buried under too much snow. I had to get out and go in.
Because on my way to work, I pass that donut place every single morning.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, the lights
I've stopped
have not
there
been on.
Twice in 15 years. But today was probably number three.
Today was number three. So, and speaking of,
and it's because I appreciate you guys. So I'm fattening you up for the big kill later.
For the slaughter.
I appreciate that.
Fattening you up for the slaughter down the road.
Slaughter later on. Speaking of roads getting clear, appreciate our buddy Colton McAvoy at A Cut Above Lawn and Landscaping. Tommy asked me this morning as we drove in, our driveways cleared off, our sidewalks cleared off, our entrance is cleared off. It's like, do you do this?
I knew you didn't do it. I knew you had nothing to do with it.
Colton did. So Colton, again, at A Cut Above Lawn and Landscaping.
Colton to come to my house. We had a worst day in a while yesterday. Get home, leave here mid-morning, 11 o'clock, talking to my father-in-law on the phone, making sure that they're in their upper 70s. Hey, do you need anything? I'm out. If you milk, bread, eggs, anything. No, we're fine. My wife calls twice during that conversation, which is never a good sign. Call her right back. Hey, we got water all in the basement.
Oh, no.
Carpet soaked. Oh, great. So I run home. We got to cut the water off. I was really lucky to get a plumber out there within like an hour. Carpet guys, same day. Called some other folks. Oh, we can be there in about 4 days. So I was really lucky. So
lucked out.
Lucked out yesterday. Pipe in the wall that I'd left water dripping, all that. It was the pipe that ran from the main line over to an outside faucet. Had the outside faucet covered with one of those styrofoam deals. Uh-huh. But somehow air got up in there through the wall and busted it in two places.
So,
we didn't know it. Fortunately, most of the water went outside. But just enough went inside to ruin your day.
We have been running our water.
I'm too.
Every single day, and that when I'm seeing
to get another job to pay my water bill this month.
When I'm seeing this faucet drip, I was reminded of a story in my old apartment complex where came home one night, buddies in town, and I was brushing my teeth, and I forgot to turn the sink off, guys, and. Because
how do you forget to turn the sink off? So that's something my 11-year-old does.
Question. Was there other things involved?
Find other things involved.
You know damn well what I'm talking about.
The time of the arrival of my apartment was about 2:30 in the morning.
All right. All right. So, there you go.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
The sink is left on, mind you, and it doesn't drain very well. So at about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm woken up to what the bleep did you do by my roommate. And I walk into our hallway. It's a 2-bedroom apartment. My friend is asleep on the couch. And our entire apartment is covered in water.
And it's all your fault.
And it's 100% all my fault. Now, I blame my roommate, of course, because I could not
find fault. His roommate and Jose, so, Mr. Cuervo.
And what had ended up happening is we had so much water that was on our floor, it sunk down to our floor mates below. So Sierra and Sarah, who lived below us, woke up to water coming through.
You didn't ruin just your apartment. You ruined somebody else's apartment.
Didn't get charged for it at all. Nothing happened. They brought in the big lug air dryer, whatever. Stuck
you lied
that
your
sucker.
Way out of it, didn't you?
I didn't lie. I told him.
He absolutely lied his way out.
What was there
of
to lie about?
You didn't tell him you were drunk and left the water running all night.
I just told him I left the water on. That's all he said.
He omitted a main piece of the truth.
Well, luckily, we knew
Stu Gotson, you as living large.
We knew the landlord, not the landlord, but the guy that was in charge of the tenants and stuff. And we had a good relationship, so we got lucky. He brought in the big vacuum suck, whatever the heck it was, and we got the thing air dried. What I was scared of, though, is walking down the hallway and just going through at some point because of the sturdiness of the water. Because the water sunk through, so my thought is, well, I'm going to sink through at some point because the water had desolidified the floor. Is that a proper term?
I don't think that's how I would put it.
Is that how it works?
I get what you mean, but I don't know.
I know what you mean, but everybody's shaking their head. Desolidified, yeah.
Well, then what's the word I'm looking for?
Destabilized.
Okay. That's the word I'm looking for.
A little bit of water, though, would let you fall through. You won't be like Clark Griswold going through the attic in Christmas Vacation.
Okay. So that's whenever I see a running faucet or a dripping faucet, I always think back to that great story.
So we had to rip out all the wet insulation. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if there's a hole, the hole's got to get fixed, right? Or I'm going to be back to square one today.
Yeah.
So I had to run to Home Depot.
Okay.
Got me a brand new rigid shop vac.
There you go.
Now, I haven't taken it out of the box because it had a great guy come over and suck all the water out of the carpet, put fans up, all that. So I may or may not keep that, but it looks pretty nice. I'm sure my kids will screw something else up.
There's always a good shop.
But then I also had to get some insulation, and then that foam insulation, you know, you spray out of a can.
Uh-huh.
You ever used any of that? I know Ty hadn't.
I have not. Yeah,
don't get it on your hands. Even the smallest amount. Because I've showered, I've used every soap we've got in our house. I'm thinking I'm going to have to find some paint thinner today. I'm just down to scraping the skin off at this point. I mean, I've got this stuff on my hands, and it will not come off. But I don't have a hole letting cold air in my house anymore either.
What are you supposed to do if a skunk sprays you? Is it bathe in tomato juice? Is that right?
I don't know. I'm not interested in Googling that.
Is that right, Jenkins? This seems like something you would know.
What's that supposed to be? Excuse me. I think it was like tomato juice, or I think I've heard like gasoline
or something
like
that. I don't think it's gasoline, no.
Or maybe paint thinner.
Something.
Maybe stick those fingers in tomato juice and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that could get it off. So, sorry for your dilemmas this morning.
Maybe just rub it in alcohol. You know, just pour some
rubbing alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah, rubbing alcohol.
That'll work. I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown.
The Ole Miss Arkansas women's basketball game is postponed tonight. Not just that, I knew the A&M game was postponed. I think you're right.
I looked on the first thing I did this morning as I was reviewing our notes was where'd my phone go? I had the ESPN app, and all three games on the ESPN schedule for tonight. There were three different
games. Four women's basketball and three men's basketball.
Yeah, there's three men's. I was just talking specifically men's basketball were canceled. Now, there was supposed to be a 2 o'clock game this afternoon between A&M and Alabama. That first caught my attention when I saw it was canceled. And then I got to look at an LSU Ole Miss for tonight and Mississippi State and Auburn. Mm-hmm. Both postponed. So right now, when you look at Saturday's schedule, now they're probably not making decisions yet on Saturday. Every game, there are seven games, including Arkansas and A&M, the last game of the day, time-wise, all set to go. So
not just
as of right now.
Yeah, not just so, that for Arkansas news, but the Arkansas softball series in Arlington has been canceled as well.
Don't imagine they had the retractable roof that baseball was going to have.
I don't think so either.
That probably played a lot into it. Back to the basketball game for tonight, Alabama A&M. Is this totally weather-related, or is there still any COVID issues going on with A&M? Because that's important to know, because one thing you want to – because when I was looking, all I could see is postponed. Now, I haven't had a deep dive into this. A&M's missed, what, five games in a row? They haven't played a conference game since late January. Mm-hmm. They have been out a while. How likely is the Arkansas A&M game for Saturday evening – at this point,
it worries me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because if this is all weather related and they were truly ready to go, the A&M program, you know, then I'm not as probably nervous about it. If there's still quarantine and COVID issues going on with A&M, I'm a little more concerned if Arkansas is going to get to play A&M at all this year.
You think I am able to make my trip to Tulsa to see my nephew play basketball?
I think you will if you just take it easy, because the roads are thawing out. And the main roads, the State Highway Department, RDOT, has done a great job of maintaining and plowing those. Now, you can't do what you normally do, which is drive 90 and not pay attention and talk on your phone and look at your phone and text and tweet and all these things you do illegally.
One, two, three, four. That's a lot of stuff.
You do. You probably, probably driving with one knee, too, half the time. But, yeah, if you'll take it easy, allow yourself an extra 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I think you will make
stock up on quarters, so I don't have to ask the nice old lady behind me if I can borrow. Yeah. Okay,
I'd loan you my Pike Pass, but now they glue them to your windshield.
Oh, that's a bummer.
You can't take it out and just give it to you.
That's a true bummer. I hope that ends up happening where we do get to see that. Do you see Gonzaga might opt out of their conference tournament? We were talking about opt-ops a little bit yesterday with Jalen Johnson. Now they're undefeated at this point, still the West Coast Conference, number one seed. BYU might do it as well. This is coming from the Organian.
I don't blame them, because listen.
They're a lock for a number one
seed. They're a lock for a one seed, number one. And number two, you've got to clear how many, I think it's seven straight COVID tests or whatever to play in the NCAA tournament. I believe that's right. I know that's one of the officiating protocols I've read about. So there's going to be a high level of testing in Indianapolis and in the NCAA tournament. If you're a lock for a one seed as a team, why not let somebody else from your conference have that opportunity? I've long stumped for the idea, particularly in baseball in the SEC, you ought to earn an exemption from the conference tournament by being a one or a two seed. You know, finishing one or two in your league, let the bottom teams go, not the top teams go. Because SEC baseball often finds themselves in these situations. You're going to be a top eight national seed if you're one or two in this league, sometimes even three, and you're going to host throughout. What do you have to gain other than an injury? And, you know, this year the pandemic's a consideration in an SEC baseball tournament. That's exactly where Gonzaga finds themselves. Take yourself out of it. Let another team win your automatic bid.
Think Nate Oates and company would do the same thing for Alabama basketball? Do you think Greg Sankey?
Well, they're not a one seed. They're not a lock for a one seed in any. Now they're a lock for the tournament, but Alabama's projected a four seed right now, I believe it is.
I'd have to go back and look at Lenardi's projections. By the way, you speak of that. You know where Joe Lenardi has you right now?
Has Arkansas 8?
Six. He's got you all the way up at a six seed. Okay. So you've flown up a little bit from when you were playing in the play-in game at one point, seven straight conference wins, a lot more respect coming Arkansas's way.
So, I mean, Bama's still got a lot to play for. If you're in Baylor's situation, Gonzaga's situation, you know, you don't need the conference tournament. In this year and this year only,
mm-hmm.
assuming the pandemic is not an issue next year, I don't blame them because there's zero as a team to gain. Because if you come in contact with someone and one of your players get it, and now it quarantines your whole team for 14 days or whatever.
If you remember, Baylor and Gonzaga were set to play each other, but there was COVID issues, I think, in the Gonzaga program. So,
I have no issue with that. I think if you play yourself into that situation, though, this is a better deal for the league, too.
Okay. Some golf news.
Now they'll get two teams in.
Yeah. Some golf news for you this morning. Phil Mickelson's reps have started talking with different networks about him being a broadcaster, and this comes from Front Office Sports and Michael McCarthy. I think Phil would be a great golf broadcaster. What say you?
Oh, absolutely, because he's willing to say about anything. Is he serious enough, and I think he can, to be the guy in the 18th tower with Jim Nantz? Because that's the – if he's not doing the Masters – you know, CBS has two of the majors, the PGA Championship and the Masters still to me is number one. Now, NBC has the U.S. Open back because Fox just bailed. They said they're not doing that anymore. So no one carries more golf than CBS. So you got to work something out to be on the CBS golf.
Not the Golf Channel.
Well, you can do both. I mean, Faldo's done both. Would you rather have Nick Faldo in the 18th tower or Phil Mickelson? I think Faldo is, obviously won a couple of green jackets, but
how many has Phil won?
Phil has won three. Yeah.
Okay.
Finished runner up at the U.S. Open a bunch.
They were showing this clip, him and Faldo.
U.S. Open.
He goes, he was trying to make it, and I'm talking about Phil Mickelson, was trying to make a dad joke, which I thought was funny. He said, there's three things I do well. Talk golf and play golf. And Faldo was like, what's the third? And he just did it.
Yeah, I remember that clip.
It just went right over him. Yeah. So I think
it was a great setup. But here's the thing. With what TV can pay, now they're not going to pay a golf analyst the same thing they pay Romo. But Phil would bring people to the TV. And honestly, he could probably make more money doing TV for CBS and the Golf Channel than he could play in the Senior Tour. Or the Champions Tour, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he could still play some of those weeks he wanted to, you know. So he could still tee it up in the Masters, those kind of things. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see Phil replace Faldo. I don't have anything against Faldo. I just think it's time for a youth movement, so to speak, there.
I think he would do a good job. And I don't.
Him paired with Nantz would be awesome.
I need some education when it comes to not only my golf game, but golf vernacular and just the rules themselves, mm-hmm. because I feel like sometimes watching something and someone does something that disgraces the game, and I had no idea. For the longest time, when I would play early on, I would walk in front of someone's line, just not knowing. And this was me at a young age. And
no one has taught you golf etiquette.
My grandpa had to correct me and teach me. Mm-hmm. And now, to say I am the prestigious belongs at a lotion, belongs at Augusta would be a gross miscalculation. But I can at least we don't have to have a Clay Henry no bleep moment here. But I can at least hold my own when it comes to etiquette out there. As long as I have some swing lube that helps me out.
Well, yeah, you don't want to walk in someone's line. You gotta know where to stand. One of the best on-course jokes.
No shadow.
Hey, how much does a flagstick weigh? I don't know. Yeah, because you hadn't picked one up all day. If you're walking, know where to leave your bag. If you're not walking, where do you leave your clubs going off the green? Yeah, there's all sorts of little...
Just here and there.
Just pay attention to what other people are doing.
And speaking of, I was talking about...
And not doing.
Education, golf education. Speaking of golf education, you know where Arkansas ranks?
How frustrated would Clay Henry be playing golf with you? I might have to arrange that this summer.
He said he won't go because he's scared.
I won't tell him you're coming. I'll just bring you with me and it'll be great.
If I somehow... This would never happen. Actually, it would because sometimes when I get some swing lube in me, the shots just go where they need to go. Can you imagine the anger, frustration, and the venting Clay Henry would have if I somehow, some way, beat him straight up in golf?
There's not enough beer in St. Louis for you to do it. Clay was a college golfer. Clay's a very good golfer.
I'm a natural athlete.
You are not. No, You may think you're an athlete, you are not a
natural
golfer.
Athlete.
Okay, you may think you're an athlete, but you're not a golfer.
Is Clay going to play from the ladies' tees because he's old?
I don't care what tees Clay plays from and what tees you play.
Can I play from the ladies' tee?
That's more important. It's not going to matter.
All right, so we're talking about golf education. Any idea, guys, where Arkansas ranks on education across the United States?
Thank God for Mississippi, I guess, is what's coming here.
Throw out a guess. Of the 50 states, where do you think Arkansas ranks?
46, you know.
You're really close. Yeah. It's at 47.
47.
Now,
right. Thank God for Mississippi.
Excuse me. Of the three states behind, you guessed one. What are the other two, if you had to guess? The two, and this is according to WalletHub.com.
Oh, well, the source for all things.
I didn't know what ranking. This website was.
Wallet Hub?
WalletHub.com.
I take you as a golfer more seriously than WalletHub.com. I'm going to guess they're southern states because these things generally skew that
like
way.
Like to bash the southern states.
Please tell me one of them's Oklahoma.
It's not Oklahoma, unfortunately. They're 44.
Oh, just ahead of us.
So you guess Mississippi.
Yeah.
Who are the other two?
Mississippi State.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State. It's the phrase that we always say, thank God for Mississippi.
Let me just go through the league. Alabama.
Nope.
Nope. Tennessee.
Nope.
I'm just guessing it's at SEC states now.
You're on to something. It's one SEC state and another state.
Georgia.
Nope.
No, dadgummit. Can't be Florida.
Nope.
They'd have to be up to the other end.
Think Cajun.
Oh, Louisiana?
Louisiana's at 48. Who do you think's at 50?
My
cousin went to school there.
I'd have guessed Mississippi.
I'm trying to drop another hint. Their college's Montag is eat blank pit. Eat cuss word pit. Any?
So who doesn't like pit the most? I'm going to guess West Virginia.
That's
might
it.
Be the
ding, ding, ding. You're right.
West Virginia.
Right on the money. So here's the weird thing about this list. So Arkansas ends up again at 47 on educational attainment. But when it comes to the other category that's also the quality of education, Arkansas is at 31. So kind of middle of the pack quality education we were talking about.
How many states are there?
50.
Okay, if you're at 31, are you in the middle of the pack?
I mean, technically it's like 25, but if you do like 20 to 35,
you're right in the middle.
Middle of the pack.
Everybody wants to talk about, they want to bang on these southern states and, oh, Arkansas this and that and these type of deals. Then you pull out the old list of, well, which state has more billionaires per capita than any other state? They don't like talking about that one.
Nope.
You know, that doesn't fit the narrative.
Northwest Arkansas, I believe.
It's got more millionaires in their state per capita.
In Northwest Arkansas,
And we thank the Walton family for many of that. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you got the Walton family.
Hunt family.
Yeah.
The Tyson family.
You know, you start racking up some billionaires pretty quick, and then there's a lot of millionaires.
Richardson family.
There's a lot of other... The rich. I think you're talking about Nolan, right?
Yeah.
Then you got a lot of companies that have built great businesses servicing and providing supplies and services or whatever to those great companies. So, you know, everybody wants to bang on Arkansas, but, you know, Northwest Arkansas in particular and Central Arkansas from a financial institution standpoint can hold their own.
Okay. Cool, cool. All right. Last headline for you. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't want this to become a seething political conversation, but one of the best radio hosts, if not the best radio hosts in the history of this industry, passed away yesterday. Rush Limbaugh passed away.
Mount Rushmore guy in our industry.
Age of 70 years old, lung cancer. Show's been on since, is it 98 or 88?
88. Been on 33 years. Yeah. Started in 1988 when I was very young in my career, working part-time on the weekends. I was at a station across town, KWHN, an AM station, still news talk to this day, but I was there before it was news talk when we played the Gospel Hits, the Gospel Giant, 1320 AM. We made the move in 92.
So about 4 years after he got rolling.
And Rush Limbaugh was one of the cornerstones early on in the station's lineup. And Fort Smith and the River Valley became very aware. And it, to me, it's for, as you say, forget all the political stuff and you're left leaning, right leaning, whatever. I used to listen to Rush just as a radio guy to just listen to how he went about his craft, how he went about the mechanics of what he does.
How did he say? What was
the EIB?
EIB.
the excellence in broadcast behind the golden microphone on the EIB network.
That's such
this is Rush Limbaugh with talent on loan from God.
Man, it who was, is the?
You know, it's nothing like it.
Who is the? Because he's the conservative one. Who is the liberal Rush Limbaugh in contrast?
In radio, there really isn't one. I mean, left-leaning radio has just never, and I think a lot of it was because of Rush, never got its traction.
Okay.
You know, Sean Hannity, you know, on the same side politically as Rush, has been really the only other show that's really been, and they're not in the same time slot necessarily, but held its own with Rush. Mm-hmm. You know, had a guy that I have a lot of respect for in this business say, hey, don't ever take a midday radio show from 11 to 2, because if you're going up against Rush, you'll make it about 2 years and your ratings are going to suck and you're going to get fired. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can have the best show on the station.
Mm-hmm.
But 11 to 2 was certain death for a lot of shows, because if you were going up against Rush in your market as a talk guy, good luck.
Is that why you put me and Phil in that slot for...
I had to save you from that slot. Yeah, it was certain death. So,
oh, man. So when you think about radio hosting, I haven't listened to a lot of political radio in my time. I mm-hmm. would listen to my daddy Joe to Rush every once in a while, my grandmother. There's the guys that stand out in this industry. You mentioned Sean Hannity. He was more of a younger in the yep. in the industry, but... And I know Don Imus, he passed away last year.
Yeah.
Rush. I know Larry King was more known for his television, but he still had the radio show.
Yeah.
And then...
I mean, if you just talk about the talk... you can talk about radio in general.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be some guys you might include that are music guys. But if we just narrow this down to the talk industry, and let's be honest, our medium, sports radio, was born or birthed out of news talk. There was no sports talk radio till early to mid-90s other than WFAN in New York. Formats and stations like ours didn't exist.
And that was initially Francesa and Mad Dog, right?
Right. I mean, well, I don't know that their show was the original on there, but that's where it began, correct. Sports radio, really 20 years ago, did not exist in the mass it does today. It's been, you know, over the last 15 to 20 years really grown. But it was born out of the idea that these news stations, a lot of times there was hybrids. Like when Chuck was doing his show on KARN in Little Rock, you know, he did a sports show on a news talk station. Lot of this format got born out of ESPN Radio came around in the early 90s, and you slowly started to get traction with this. But it was only because of the news talk industry that radio station owners were willing to take this leap. So it's guys like Rush Limbaugh who had success. Guys like Don Imus, who had success, that gave the willingness from people that owned radio stations to try out sports talk as a format.
When you think, now we just, and Alan Combs is another one that Garrett brings up that stands out. When you think of sports talk radio dominance within the United States and then Arkansas, the national guys that come to mind for me are Dan Patrick, mm-hmm. Colin Cowherd,
yep.
Jim Rohn, and okay. then Francesa and Mad Dog.
Well, I mean,
is there any other?
And they're not really, I mean, I know they're on Sirius XM and Francesa's retired now, but I think the first three you got on. How long has Jim Rome been on the radio doing a nationally syndicated show?
And it's what's fascinating.
Forever.
Yeah, what's fascinating to me, Tommy, is Rome has been a caller driven show for a while. Mm-hmm. Dan Patrick has his Danettes, and then Colin, I know he's had different producers and different co-hosts with it, but that is his show. It's the caller driven Dan and the Danettes. Cowherd.
Yep. And that's what makes what Colin Cowherd does and what Rush Limbaugh does so impressive to someone that sits in our chairs and studies how you go about your business. There's a mechanic to what we do. There is a flow and a process and a plan. You don't just turn, I know it may sound like it to you someday out there listening, you don't just turn these mics on and go. And the ability to be a kind of a lone wolf, the only guy you really hear from. Rush was the same way. He didn't have the Danettes. He didn't have a lot of guests on. It was 3 hours of Rush and his thoughts
mm-hmm.
and his reaction to the news of the day. That is extremely difficult. And you've got to have a level of talent, a level of thought and intelligence that can carry that. There's very few people, and Rush is one of them. Colin Cowherd's a good example. Very few people that can carry a three-hour radio show with their personality, their thoughts, their insights, their opinions.
And I apologize.
And Rush was one of them.
I apologize for not mentioning Howard Stern.
Howard Stern's absolutely on the Mount Rushmore.
Robert Nashville brings that up.
But he doesn't do a lone wolf, lone mic show. And he leans, and he is maybe the greatest interviewer ever to do this.
So that's one.
So Stern, Rush, Don Imus,
Combs, and
Combs. I mean, Hannity and Combs did a show together mainly on TV years ago. But if you just want to talk about talk radio, you could argue over that fourth spot. There's no arguments in what we do in talk radio that Don Imus, Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern are three of your four faces on the Mount Rushmore, and we can argue over the fourth.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to Arkansas, now I've unfortunately didn't get a chance to listen to Chuck's show. I have gotten a chance to listen to some Arkansas sports radio people over the years. Is there, to you, is Chuck the best guy that you've ever seen on the Arkansas airwaves? Or the not seen, but listened to? I loved his podcast. I wish Bo and them would put him back. Bo would be, to me, and I know some people don't like Bo or whatever, when Bo is at his best, of the people that I have heard on Arkansas sports radio, he was my favorite. And
Chuck,
not just,
Chuck was the gold standard. Randy's been doing this. Randy Rainwater's been doing this
for
a long
time. And I love Randy,
time.
Too. And Randy's been great to me when I've had conversations with him, especially as a Little Rock guy.
But Chuck and what he had going on, and it was about a close to 10-year run, and then he was, you know, given the opportunity to be the voice of the Razorbacks, and it really cut short what I thought he was getting ready in his mid-40s to come into a prime, a prime 5 or 10 years of being a talk show. Hey, this job right here, what we do, will grind on you. It will wear on you. When you do it 10 or 15 years, it will wear you out. Ask Bo. Ask Chuck. That's why a lot of these guys do it. It's amazing that Randy's hung around and done it as long as he has.
I hope at some point in time.
Chuck was the gold standard.
I had Nikki on yesterday for Trust in the Process. I'd like to ask Chuck about that, if he has any regrets when basketball season's over, of jumping ship and becoming the voice of Arkansas.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Richard, Arkansas football and Arkansas fans got some good news this past Saturday night. As Rashad, help me pronounce his last. Is it Dubion or Dubion?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Dominion. Yeah. Okay, close enough.
I think I said it right, and I think that's what you just said.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. RD, what's the Arkansas football team getting in Rashad?
You're getting a guy that can definitely motor, take it outside, take it inside. He's strong enough and physical enough to go between the tackles too. A guy that can catch the ball out of the outfield. It appears, you know, at least on, you know, from a high school prospect perspective, he's an every down back, 5'10", 190 pounds. Like I said, physical enough to go between the tackles, but he can. And one thing that you notice on his highlight film, he will make some people look silly in the open field. There's one particular play early in his highlight film where he just takes a very subtle step to the inside near the sideline, and this DB goes, basically runs out of bounds trying to catch him. He's so faked out. So he's a good one.
One of the things that these new hires were supposed to, on the football circuit, on the football side of things with this coaching staff, recruiting was an issue and something. You go younger, you hope you can stack up in that. Richard, they get a top 30 class in their first recruiting cycle, wasn't even a full one. Then a top recruiting class, 25 in year number two. Is there an expectation from you and other recruiting guys and gals that this Arkansas football team, especially with the in-state class as talented as it is, should these guys finish top 20 nationally in 2022?
I think if they don't, obviously fans may be disappointed, but the number one fan will be disappointed, Sam Pittman, because he's obviously come out and said that they got to do better in recruiting. So, yeah, I think with the strong class that they have in state for the 22 class, if you're able to get most of those guys and go out of state and get some guys like Rashad and some others, you should be able to get within in the top 20.
You know, back to Rashad a minute ago, and four stars, and obviously sometimes these top recruits are able to help you recruit other top recruits. Who might be in that network? Who might be another player that he could reach out to on social media or directly and maybe influence and get them to come to Arkansas with him?
Well, he's got a teammate that he can talk to every day at school, Josh White, a defensive end, 6'5", 258, who recently named Arkansas, was one of his top six schools, and who, I had in Friday's column, and he talked about if the dead period was extended, he would probably be making his decision in April. He tweeted out last night that because of the dead period being extended to May 31st, he'll be making his decision very, very soon. So he's one to keep an eye on. I know that obviously he likes Arkansas when you have a school as one of your top six schools. And then when you have a guy that's committed to him, that's a teammate, that doesn't hurt. And Texan and Rashad last night, you could tell that he's definitely trying to get him on board too. So you don't have to go very very far to maybe have the Rashad factor in there.
We were talking earlier about that dead period being extended and just the hamstringing that it does for every program, but how it might affect Arkansas in some ways more than others. Is leaning on players to help and communicate, ones that are already strongly committed to your program, how much bigger of a factor does it become in a year like this where the coaches can't leave campus and the players can't come for officials?
You know, it's always big, but it's even more so last year than this year. Last year, the 20 class really came together and had a lot of group texts with prospects along with themselves who are all committed. Jermaine Hamilton Jordan was a leader. Lucas Coley was a leader. They're doing the same with this class. The three guys that were committed to them obviously went after Rashad and was able to, help lure him in. And they're out trying to get some others. And that, I mean, when you're not able to obviously have kids on campus and everything, you're looking for every advantage possible to try to get a kid to commit. And the guys that are already committed, they're some of your best sellers of the program, so why not?
Talking with Richard Davenport here on the Morning Rush. Rick in Clarksville asked us a little bit earlier, RD. He says, how does our football program compare with our basketball program as far as transfers? Does the football program look as actively in the transfer portal as the basketball program does?
Yes. excuse me. But the problem is and a lot of it is it comes down to numbers. But at the same time, we've always talked about this. If you find somebody in the portal, even if your numbers are maxed out, you know the numbers can be worked out in some form or fashion if there's a guy that you truly want. But, yeah, they're definitely they look at the portal. They're very active in the portal. They got Crawford, the offensive lineman from Charlotte, out of the portal. Obviously, had a previous relationship there, but they're actively looking at who may be in there. Yeah,
we were talking about the transfer portal a little earlier in the program, Richard. And if you look at it right now, according to Keith Grabowski of the Coaching Coordinator Podcast, 72% of the players in the 2021 transfer portal have yet to find a destination. And that always goes back to the idea of the grass is greener. Would you encourage kids to be hesitant about transferring from programs based on the fact that they might have to transfer down outside of the Power Five or even down to classification for that matter?
I would definitely be careful who I listen to. don't listen to Uncle Ty, who has no previous experience whatsoever of college football, the inner workings and things like that. Listen to your high school coach. Make sure you have a landing spot. You have people that you know that's seriously interested in you, and you can go and attend that school. Because, like you said, there's a lot of kids that over the last few years that thought that they would be able to find another school, and they're out of football. And it's shameful, but that's the way it is. And with the freedom that they're allowing, kids to get into the portal, there's also a responsibility on your part to make sure that you're doing something that's in your best interest that you truly can benefit from or be left out in the cold.
Yeah, and you just think about this past season with COVID and the pandemic and players missing games because of quarantine. There were players that left the program that would have had legitimate playing time and been on the field, but they just left too early. They gave up on their opportunity and may have missed their window.
Well, I mean, and let's face it, we live in a culture that demands immediate gratification, and sometimes that doesn't come along every day, and sometimes you have to be patient. But that's something that needs to be taught to kids, and I think a lot of that goes back to their parents. Some parents are the worst advocates of their kids because they think that little Johnny is much better than what he is, and you really need to listen and talk to people that truly have been through the process before, know what they're talking about. And I'm talking about high school coaches. Lean on the high school coaches. If the high school coaches don't know, they'll probably be able to find somebody that can help you through the process and give you as much education about the process as you possibly can need, can get it. Don't listen. There's so many people in these kids' ears. It's shameful.
Yeah. What has Richard Davenport been doing to pass the time with sub-zero temperatures this week and, a foot of snow on the ground?
Making sure all the water taps are running. Actually, I just turned them off for the first time in about a week. So it's supposed to get up to around 30 or 35 today. So that's exciting.
I can tell you from personal experience, you do not want a busted pipe. It is no fun. You don't want to be the proud new owner of a shop vac, which I am now. So just take it from me. You don't want any of that. And I left my
No. You what now?
And I left my taps running, and it still didn't matter. So.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
a whole plumbing deal. Is that one? A pipe outside faucet, even though it was covered, still got it. So that's how cold it was.
Yeah. Hey, man. I always told my wife, I said, there's no way in heck we'll move any farther north than Arkansas. No way. How in the world can people in Wisconsin and Minnesota, I know you, if you're born and raised in it, you're used to it, but no way. This is about to drive me crazy as it is.
Well, you see why Northerners and Yankees are cranky all the time because they're having to deal with this weather 24/7.
They're locked up with
that. Hey, that is the truth. Anybody says that's not the truth, I'm sorry. That's incorrect because when you're around this stuff as much as they are, how can you not be cranky? That's at least we get to see the sun and we can be active during the winter most of the time.
That's what I'm saying. Richard, we appreciate it, buddy. Be safe. We'll talk next Thursday, okay?
All right, buddy. We'll see you guys.
I thought it was a good conversation on him talking about him with the recruiting stuff. We might open that up a little more tomorrow where Arkansas should be top 20-wise moving forward.
And can you string classes together? That's the other big deal is can you get classes consecutively, 2, 3, 4 years in a row? That's how you build a program. Chad Morris left you a little bit. You got to build on top of that. And we're seeing evidence of a building trend when it comes to recruiting. Brought to you by NWA Gold and Silver, Bentonville, Fayetteville, also in Fort Smith. If you have gold or silver items, maybe you've been doing a little straightening up around the house since you've been locked up with some cabin fever right now and can't get out, Maybe you found some items, some silver flatware, silver, you know, service items that you're not going to use anymore. Gold jewelry that's broken, worn out, out of style, you're not going to wear anymore. Hey, don't just throw it away, give it away. Take it to NWA Gold and Silver. You might be surprised how much it's worth. With today's gold prices at all-time historic highs and silver on a dramatic rise right now, what you have could be worth thousands of dollars. NWA Gold and Silver is at 1130 North Walton in Bentonville, Nelson's Crossing by Jason's Deli in Fort Smith, or in Fayetteville, and then in Fort Smith just west of Central Mall on Rogers Avenue. That's NWA Gold and Silver, Bentonville, Fayetteville, and in Fort Smith, the people that pay the most.
Want to get into some quick hog news real quick. Texas A&M, Alabama, Texas A&M, you're going to play on Saturday, knock on wood, hopefully. Their games, along with the other men's basketball games and the women's basketball games, including Ole Miss and Arkansas, have been postponed as of tonight due to not just the rolling blackouts, the weather. There's just a lot of it doesn't seem to be
difficulty
COVID
to travel.
Doesn't seem to be COVID related. It seems to be weather related.
The good thing is, I guess Arkansas and A&M are the two most western schools in this league as far as the footprint. I guess maybe Baton Rouge might fit in there. But anyway, you're on the western side. All the weather's moved east. So sunshine right out, you know, at least where we're at, we're seeing some sunshine right now. Roads are going to thaw out. You know, let's be honest, it's about can you get the plane off the runway and can you get the buses to pick you up and take you to Reed Arena and to your hotel. If you can check those boxes, you're going to play as long as – you can clear it with, you know, all these, like you said, the rolling blackouts and all the things that, you know, it wasn't enough to deal with a pandemic and a storm that's probably once every 30 or 40 years in Texas, once a decade here, winter storm. Now we're dealing with energy issues. So we just needed one more challenge here in 2020, 2021.
Be any way that the Aggies would come here?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was going to ask you that question here in a second. Would, you know, they owe you a trip here anyway? So, you know,
kill two birds, one stone.
I would bet that A&M would be willing, Buzz Williams would be willing to go anywhere to play. You know, we got to play at Creekmore Park, you know, with the metal nets. We'll play because
Walker Park.
We haven't played since January. Let's play a basketball game. So if that's what you needed to do, is A&M come here, they owe you a trip anyway, I bet they would be willing to do it just to play a game.
Did I ever tell you real quick the crazy Walker Park experience that me and my friends had? So
nope.
It's the near University of Arkansas's campus, and the basketball out there can get pretty intense at times, and we occasionally will talk trash because we were stupid and we still are stupid. And one time, my buddy Tim Barnes called a foul. Or no, he didn't call a foul. One of the other opponents called a foul. And he said, that's a soft foul. This kid proceeds to punch him in the face and gives him a black eye. And this knucklehead has been in jail two or three times now. Mm-hmm. So didn't have a huge background.
He was the enforcer on your team.
Didn't have a bat. Not, Tim hasn't been in jail multiple times. This other kid that punched him has been in jail.
He was the enforcer on their team.
So that is one of the experiences. So when you're going out, you mentioned, because when you brought up Creekmore, I played out there once. There's other various places.
You didn't play until you had chain nets.
I enjoy it. Like, chain nets are fun.
There's no swish.
It sounds crisp to me. When that ball goes in, it messes up your ball a little bit. But when you brought up that, I was like, man, that brings me back to Tim Barnes' black eye that he got when we were in school. Just calling a soft foul. I can't do that, man.
You didn't call a foul the rest of the game, did you?
We always, like, as an official, you have to call fouls. That's your job. We have this thing when my buddies and I play together, the first foul, we call you words that can't be repeated on this. When you call the first foul of the game, you could get thrown into the fence.
Right.
And if you're the guy that calls the first foul, you're softer than Charmin. That's how we play it.
Softer than Charmin.
So, man, it's been a bummer.
I think if A&M had to go through that to get a game in, I think Buzz Williams. I think they would probably do whatever it took to play this weekend.
Can you imagine the Arkansas basketball team and the Texas A&M basketball playing at Creekmore Walker Park under the bridge in Little Rock? I'm just trying to think of various pickup games that I played over the years.
We'll have to get out there and shovel the court off so you can play. But yeah, we'll go.
It'd be quite an event.
I would imagine, because temperatures are going to warm up, energy demands are going to be more reasonable and more normal this weekend. Travel shouldn't be a city. I would imagine by Saturday night, Arkansas and A&M are going to play at Reed Arena at 7:30. The schedule.
Yeah, I think you're right. PA chimes in. He says, you know that only Wims call fouls unless it's flagrant like a pushdown. You got to know your surroundings. PA, I'm still waiting. You challenged me to three-point competition. I'm still waiting on that. Mm-hmm. I still want to do that. So I'm still waiting on for you to come ref or pick up basketball games during the week, too. Give some exercise.
Listen, if you're going to get punched in the face for calling a foul,
They're not going to do that to the
ref. I don't know. You know, it sounds to me like a prison league more than a lunchtime league.
Listen, when you get cooked out there, when you're losing all these games, when you're putting it to the other opponents, and you're talking trash, sometimes it leads to a little physical escalation. Mm-hmm. It's what sometimes happens.
I bet you are the mouthy one out there.
Yeah, I'm the mouthy one, but I don't think I've ever been in. I'm trying to think if I've ever. No, that's not true. I've been in a couple fights, but it's brawls with friends.
Did you win any of them?
One, two. So we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
It's 2 for 10, folks.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Brought to you by Breeden RV Center.